Hey guys, okay. I am really looking forward to this conversation I want to have with you guys today. It's something I've actually been sitting on for a little bit because I've been trying to process all that I'm feeling because it's been a lot. I actually just got back. I went to a 3-day retreat down in Palm Springs with Danny Morrell. If you don't follow Danny Morrell on Instagram, check him out. He does these events called Awaken. And I will tell you, it opened up my heart and my capacity to be with a lot of things in a new way. And that, amongst a lot of work I've been doing internally to befriend, heal, and better understand my nervous system, has really compounded into this space where I'm just feeling different. And if you've been with me for a little bit, you know that this is something that I've struggled with understanding things with my mind, but not knowing how to like feel it in my body. And I think this is something that a lot of us battle. My friend Britt Piper, who I'm going to share my interview with her next week, she has said that overthinking is an underfeeling problem. And I don't know about you, but I'm a huge overthinker. I am very good at thinking. I am very good at overanalyzing. I am very good at doing, at reading the books, following the directions, consuming the information, applying to my life, checking the boxes, making the to-do lists, my whole life. And it was not until recently that I really started to see this clearly as a bit of an avoidance strategy that I've adapted to avoid feeling. And that just awareness cracked me open a little bit. And then I think the willingness and the desire to really dive in and reconcile and figure out, like, why am I so disconnected? Why am I so disassociated? As a culture, as a society, there's so many band-aids out there, right? There's so many tips and tricks or even medications or just avoidance strategies that we adapt to not be with us, don't be with ourselves, because we're so terrified of what we might feel. And, you know, one of my coaches I work with, because I will say I work with a lot of different people. I think anyone and everyone should have people, mentors you lean on to support you and elevate what you do and in all the ways. And she was telling me, she's like, you're like the kid on the team that's like, put me in, coach. I'm that person who's just like, I want to go into it. But I think the way that I've been going into it most of my life is through my head. Like, let me learn, let me do, let me, you know, consume more information. And I'm finally at this place of like, let me be, let me feel, let me embody. And this is also largely why I've been bringing you guys a lot of strategies with emotional regulation. If you haven't checked out my recent post where I'm sharing a freebie with you guys so you can keep track, stay organized of the different high payoff tools for your nervous system so you have strategies in your back pocket to help you get more grounded and into your body, check out that post about creating your emotional regulation toolkit. I'll link it below. But the reason I created that is because it's an entry point into your body. And as people with ADHD, many of us have complex trauma. We struggle with emotional regulation. It's just a challenge. And we're highly sensitive. We feel things really deeply. And so no wonder we try to run away from our feelings, because it hurts. It's intense. We've been told it's too much too. You know, so many of us from the time we can remember, we may not even remember it, but we've internalized this idea that we are too much. Our feelings are too much. And in fact, there's something wrong with feeling so much, with crying, with having big emotions. And so many of us have been shamed for that, you know? And so, again, it makes so much sense why we'd be running from it, hiding from it, looking for ways to suppress. But I think there comes a point in our life where we're like desperately longing to feel. And that's the space I've been in, is like, I want to feel the things I know in my head. And as I've been going down this journey, it's not been comfortable. I will tell you, it has not been comfortable. But I'm starting to create more space in my nervous system to be with myself. I'm starting to create more space around those moments that I am dysregulated, that I'm triggered, to be with, to get curious, to do this radical thing of getting to know myself and what I actually need, what I actually think, what I actually feel, and separating that away from the people pleasing, what people think of me, you know, the perfectionism, all these adaptive strategies so many of us have taken on in an effort to stay safe, to feel loved, to feel accepted. And tearing all of those things off is very vulnerable, like just to be with yourself. But I really want you to think of it as this entry point into being, this entry point into creating enough space to be in your body, to be with whatever's in there, to stop running from it, right? And to not judge it if we feel mad, sad, angry, frustrated, overwhelmed. Like, our emotions are teachers. They're wisdom within our body that it's letting us know about an unmet need we have within ourselves. And so when we can stop judging it or labeling it and just get curious to be with what comes up within us and to ask ourselves, what is this here to show me? What is this here to teach me? In a weird way, I feel like I've like been dating myself. How do I feel? Why do I feel this way? Oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. And then this is when, you know, the reparenting stuff really comes in, is because it's like we've got these parts of us that are sort of stuck in moments in time in our life where we've experienced some trauma, and they come up in different times and places. And, you know, that five-year-old me that's traumatized from feeling unseen, unheard, unaccepted has a different feeling than that 16-year-old who is mad and mad that I'm not being seen, that I'm not being validated, mad that I can't be myself, mad that I'm not receiving love in the way that I need. And when we shame these parts of ourselves, it just shuts it all down, right? It just causes more dysregulation, and it causes us to disassociate more from our body and our feelings. So the entry point into the nervous system, into creating a greater window of tolerance to be with, to be curious about these different parts of ourselves and what they're here to show us and teach us, is this amazing gift and opportunity to heal. And what I'm finding is when we can start to find ourselves in our body, to be with the discomfort in new ways, it allows us to start to feel empowered, more self-assured. It creates more self-trust. And it's kind of like the vicious cycle of the negative thought loops. We can do that on the flip with the positive thought loops, with the healing, with the curiosity, with the neutrality, you know, the equanimity in what is, and showing up for whatever's coming up for us. And when we're just curious and we're not making any of it wrong or bad, it's like our body feels safe to show us more. I mean, truly, the other day, you guys, I looked in the mirror, I'm like, I don't even like recognize myself. I look so different. And I look different because I'm this version of me that didn't exist before. I'm like this version of me who knows myself, who loves myself, who trusts myself, who isn't judging anymore the thoughts that come up, but is like literally can hold space to be curious and be like, that makes so much sense why this part of me would feel this way. Tell me more. The amazing thing is when we start to do this work as mothers, it just makes showing up for our kids a 1,000 times easier. You know, I was a teacher. And then when my first child was born, my oldest is now 16. I have kids 16 and 13. My oldest was 16. I became a full-time mom. I stopped working. I dedicated my whole life to, this is me, 16 years ago me, the perfect mom. I wanted to give my kids everything I didn't get. You know, that was like my whole thing. And so I read all the books. I didn't have a babysitter. The only person who could watch my kids were grandparents. And from this limited understanding of what it meant to be a perfect mom, which let's be clear is completely impossible and there's no such thing. But from my consciousness and where I was then, I was doing all the things I knew how to do to be a good mom. And I look back, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with Gabor Mate's work and Scattered Minds. It's a fascinating read, by the way, for anyone who's interested in learning more about attachment and attunement with our kids when they're little and how that can impact our neurowiring, this concept of epigenetics. It's really interesting to look back because I put my first on a sleep schedule because I was reading this book called Baby Wise. I was doing that was being a good mom, right? We were on a schedule. He slept through the night at 3 months old. I was so proud. Pat myself on the back. I'm a good mom. I'm doing all the things. And I look back now and I just cringe. But I also am finally at a place where I can give that version of me so much love and compassion because she thought she was doing it right. Like she really was trying so hard and was so unaware of her unhealed trauma and was so unconscious of how that was playing out in her availability to be present and attuned to these little babies. And why? Because I didn't get it from my parents. And why? Because they didn't get it from theirs. But when we can take the making it personal out of it and see the neutrality in it and see that this makes so much sense that my mom couldn't give to me what I needed because her mom couldn't give to her what she needed and her mom couldn't give to her what she needed. And then, of course, I was repeating cycles because I wasn't aware and no one had showed me otherwise. And so it's this active work, right? To create the secure attachment to ourselves, which is really what reparenting is, right? Showing up as that safe space within ourselves so that we can create a secure attachment with our kids. And for the record, the most amazing thing that is so wonderful about parenting is that the gift of repair really does repair. And so I've become very good at apologizing. And I think that is something that is just sort of like always in my back pocket when we don't show up the way we want to, right? That we don't have to beat ourselves up about it and hide in shame about it, but can just own our humanness and make it right, right? And say we're sorry. That's been something I've done a lot of in my mothering as I've grown and evolved on this journey. But the point in me sharing this is that I think when I originally came to this work, I started with the Band-Aids, which I think so many of us do. Coming from the classroom setting, being a teacher, I was like, what do I do in the classroom to make things right? That's the problem, right? And then it was like, okay, wait, I think there's stuff happening at home too. Okay, what are we doing with kids at home? Do we have all the tips and tricks, all the executive functioning strategies, all the things in place to support the accommodations at home? Do we have this? It was the doing. Am I doing all the things? Am I reading all now the books about how to support neurodivergence? Am I doing? And I was still left with like, dang, like I know so much. And it's still a struggle. Like something is off. And so it really has led me, like, I just feel like I keep whittling back to like, what is the root? How do we really create change? And I've just come full circle to the root is healing our own nervous systems as primary caregivers, as mothers, as women who, I'm just going to say it, the vast majority of us have complex trauma if we're neurodivergent. And looking at these things that are coming up, these wounds with NS, these unmet needs that occurred in our youth, in our childhood, even maybe before we even have conscious memories, but they're showing up as reactions in our bodies, as sensations in our bodies, and getting curious with that so that the grown-up version of us can meet those needs now and create that security, that safety, that self-trust. We're not trying to get it from anyone else anymore, right? So when our mom doesn't show up the way that we want, or our friend or our partner or our kids, it's like, it always comes back to, what is this poking out within me that needs my love and attention? And having that radical, not only self-acceptance, but ownership over our own well-being. That is empowerment. Like, we are in control. We create our realities. We create our experiences. And so when we have that radical ownership over our experiences, I mean, it is so empowering, because it always comes back to us no matter what. We choose how we show up. We choose what we're making a situation mean about ourselves. And we choose to meet that inner part of us that's hurt and to give them what they need. And so we're then able to do that for our kids. But it's like, we can't give to other people what we don't give to ourselves. So if we don't know how to do this for us, if we don't know how to feel, if we don't know how to be in our bodies, if we don't know how to radically self-accept ourselves, we literally cannot hold that space for our kids. So as we're collecting all our tips and tricks and reading all the books and all the latest research and all these amazing Instagram accounts that exist, if all of that is being filtered through our own unmet needs, through this filter of our unconscious trauma, of our triggers and reactions that we don't understand, of our dysregulation, those tips and tricks and strategies, no matter how wonderful and effective they potentially could be, are not going to land or make that impact in our children's lives, because we are not holding the space for those things to land. And so I was just saying to a friend the other day, it's like, it doesn't matter what you do if you don't know how to be. And that was me my whole life. I was so good at doing, but I was not good at being. And so I feel like this is a whole new phase for me where I'm, for the first time, really, very recently, feeling the embodiment of being, feeling the embodiment of what it means to be regulated, to be calm, to feel at peace with the fluctuations in my nervous system. Because, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we're all supposed to be calm and regulated all the time. That is not actually at all what I'm saying. It's that we can be with the fluctuations, have tools to trust ourselves, have the confidence to find our way back, to kind of switch that dial on the thoughts of, like, what feels better in my body? And I'm not avoiding either, right? Like, I know how to feel the things and I know how to bring myself back. And so when we can get to that space, it's amazing how things shift with our kids, because they're so energetically in tune with us and our nervous system and our emotional space. When we're able to hold that space for them, it takes so much less effort to do the things that are very helpful. You know, executive functioning strategies are very helpful for people with ADHD. But if we don't know how to apply them from a space where we can not only regulate ourselves, be with our own, you know, different states within our nervous system to find safety within our body so we can deliver it in a safe way to hold space for our kids when they're feeling unsafe and dysregulated in their bodies, like, none of it works. So this is a conversation I'm going to be leaning into more and more. And I'm very fascinated with how complex trauma shows up for so many of us with ADHD, and Gabor Mate's work with attachment and attunement, and just looking honestly at my own life and knowing what my early years were like as a child, starting, I think, from the time I was in my mom's womb, I was exposed to stress and anxiety. And what that does to us when we think of it from this perspective of generational trauma and then epigenetics, which, if you're not familiar, it's like, basically what we're exposed to in our environments can sort of turn genes on or off, right? So if we're passing trauma down generationally, if we're still unconsciously repeating patterns with the best intentions, which was me, for the record, like, I was doing the things. I was gonna be that perfect mom if it killed me, right? But that sweet girl had no idea about all of her complex trauma and her unconscious patterns and the way she would dissociate and not be present and how that impacted those sweet babies, right? And I think sometimes as moms, some of the clients I've worked with can get a bit triggered by this idea because it's like we're trying so dang hard, right? So it's like for someone to be like, I think to interpret it as like we did something wrong or it was our fault or we, it's like nobody is saying that. Like, and I'm the first to be like, I can see I did this when my kids were little and it's not my fault. Like I didn't know any different. I wasn't lack of love or effort or desire, but it was lack of awareness, right? You do the best you can with the tools that you've got at the time, but the nervous system needs us to baby step into these things. And so in my work, not only with my clients, but in my paid side of Substack and with some of my upcoming guests, we're going to be really diving into this. Like, how do we create more space in our nervous system to be with the different, to the discomfort, to be with the things that come up, and using that really as one of our tools to reparent ourselves so that we can create the secure attachment with ourselves, create that safety within ourselves, so that we can hold space for these secure, loving relationships with our children. So we can then apply all the wonderful tips and tricks and have them actually land. So that's where I'm at. I would love to hear if you have any thoughts, feelings, if you can relate, and stay tuned for some upcoming episodes as we're going to be diving deeper into this idea of complex trauma, healing our nervous system, and how to better regulate ourselves so we can co-regulate with our kids. Talk soon. Thanks so much for tuning in. There's more to this conversation over on Substack. That's where our paid community for ADHD moms is held. There, you'll receive full access to episodes and resources where I'll show up honestly, speaking out what I'm working through and the topics that validate our neurodivergent experiences. Plus, you'll have the option to comment and share as much as you would like or would not like. If you'd like to join us, go ahead and click the link below in the show notes. I would love to see you over there. Until next time.